it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Do a written feature every week for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Done it for many, many years. I somewhat jokingly refer to it as our franchise feature, but a lot of our readers think it is that. It's called Friday Insider, and I spent this week accumulating as much information as I could about the dynamic between this team's general manager and this team's head coach. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Penguins. Comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or baseball, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. I would encourage you to check out today's Friday Insider on our website. It's got a lot of heavy detail on the relationship as it's formed between Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan. It's information that I didn't know myself before this week, and I gathered by talking to a lot of people who would know, and by that I mean directly know. And I got to tell you, out of all of that, and there's some stuff about, the firing of Todd Reirden and some other decisions that get made and how involved Mike Sullivan is in trade calls and what his relationship was like with Ron Hextall by comparison and all that other stuff. The thing that hit me the hardest out of this was a positive. And that's that these two are legitimately working well together, seeing eye to eye, operating from the same playbook. And man, it's been a long time since that's been the case in Pittsburgh. I really feel like that alone ought to stand out from this piece. I'm not sure that it will, because you know how people are. Ooh, did you see that thing that the DK had about what happened this one time or whatever? That's the kind of stuff that, you know, people will kind of soak up, and I get that. But when you come to grips, which maybe you will after reading this, with how messed up things were between the predecessor or predecessors, depending on how much you valued Brian Burke's role versus Ron Hextall's role, and compared that to what's in place now, to what I now am convinced is in place now, my friends, that all by itself makes a massive difference moving forward for this franchise. It's impossible. I was about to qualify that and I stopped. Did you tell? This episode is brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your summer sports needs this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NHL, NBA playoffs. Get the latest odds and lines, including all team matchups, player props, odds on just about everything that's out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. It's impossible to succeed when your GM and your coach are either at cross purposes or not communicating at all. And in this event, it was both. I mean, big time both. If you've listened to this program for any length of time, you will know that I do not find this general manager to be perfect. I've criticized him on a couple of occasions pretty strongly. You'll also know that I don't find this head coach to be perfect. I'm very much in favor of his continued employment. I believe the Penguins have one of the best coaches in hockey. And I'll pause here while a bunch of you just angrily slam the pause button. Okay, the rest of you still here? Okay, cool. I've always respected Sullivan. I would imagine that I always will respect Sullivan. I have not found him to be without his own flaws, some of them significant flaws. I've called those out. I've done it publicly. I've done it in print. I've done it here. And even just limiting this to the scope of the 1 year that these two gentlemen had to work together, I can find crippling mistakes that both of them made over the course of this past season or leading into it. So I'm not about to say, hey, this is all going to be just spectacular now that they get along. It's got to be a lot more than that. But my goodness, is it a vital first step, huh? Can you picture whatever the after-the-season meetings were like between Sullivan and the GM's predecessors versus what they would be now in the 2 weeks, two full weeks that Sullivan and Dubas just spent together, meeting on various subjects? A lot of that had to do with Todd Reirden and the coaching staff, but there was more to it than that. There always is. Can you imagine going over everything, everybody, every possible nit to pick that one might have had with the other? And to have all of that laid out there in a healthy way, which was very much my understanding, incidentally, of how these 2 weeks just went. That's what you want. That's what you need. Not want. Need. So good. I don't have that many additional details as to what it was that they talked about for those 2 weeks, but here's hoping that they brought up intensely and honestly the state of their goaltending. Intensely and honestly what to do about Ryan Graves. Intensely and honestly, how to somehow mishmash having a roster with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Brian Rust, Erik Karlsson, Chris Letang, and others who aren't going anywhere, and still building toward whatever the post-Sid reality will look like. How about intensely and honestly just related to Sid? Just how does that get handled next? Obviously, you're signing Sid. Obviously, you're doing whatever it takes to make sure that he finishes his once-in-a-lifetime career where he belongs. But that's not so simple. As we saw late this past season, he might not wear some of these moves that he'd perceive as being negative all that well. How does that get dealt with? What about going after Jake Guentzel? My information is that the door is at least open from both perspectives, meaning the team is open-minded to it. Jake and his family are open-minded to it, but, you know, I understand the Hurricanes are about to be bounced from these playoffs. They're down 3-0 now after last night, losing again to the Rangers. But Jake's been probably Carolina's most consistent offensive performer. He hasn't exactly hurt his value, to say the least. You get the idea. It's a good thing. When we come back, J1Q. As for JFQ, if you listen to yesterday's show, you'll know that I sought out feedback as much as possible from you as to who you would spend the bulk of your free agency money on if you were Kyle Dubas. Not necessarily a player, but more just looking for a specific position or a specific role. There was a heavy response, which is cool and appreciated. But man, that heavy response. Well, it wasn't unanimous, but it wasn't far from unanimous. Perchurky wrote, DK, I love your sight in the daily shots. Listen each day while I go for a walk. And while I was listening to this episode, I actually spoke out loud. Left-handed defenseman. So from there, I went to what's the number two lead. I came up with a third line center. Really? You want to replace Lars Eller? Oh, wait, he has more here. The thought there was to have more strength on all four lines, potentially bumping Lars down to number four. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. Mike wrote, I don't disagree on the left-handed defenseman, but that matters less than finding a guy you can count on to stop pucks. They don't have that now, and I'm not sure they can do it with a weak free agent market and very few tradable assets. But that would be my wish. Mike, you know what's funny? And I'm going to end up doing a whole show on this next week, I can promise you. Are you watching these Western Conference teams in the playoffs? Are you seeing their goaltending? How did their general managers, and I exempt Jim Rutherford for this, only because Thatcher Demko got hurt. I don't even think that much of Demko. But how did these executives, these hockey experts, enter these playoffs with this caliber of goaltending, thinking that they can win the cup? Other than Jake Oettinger in Dallas, Normally, I'd throw in Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg, but he did nothing for the Jets in their first-round series against the Avs. All I'm saying here is just let this play out, okay? I don't think much of Jarry either. I wouldn't have any problem with Jarry being moved out and replaced by somebody else. But he's better than a lot of what's over there, okay? And JB says, DK, I agree about the left-handed defenseman, but after that, I really feel like the Penguins could use another top six winger. I'm looking at a left winger in the mold of Jake DeBrusk or Jake Guentzel. I love Drew O'Connor's game, but I just don't see him as a top liner. From what I've seen of Michael Bunting, I love him on the second line with Gino, and I don't see Ricard Raquel as a top liner, and Riley Smith just doesn't work with Sid. Actually, Riley Smith just doesn't work. You could have put the punctuation after that word right there. DeBrusk could be cheap enough to go fill other needs afterward. I don't think DeBrusk is going to be cheap, JB. I really don't. I don't think it's a great market, and I think every team loves to look at free agency as the place that they can find their next gritty, gutty, borderline Matthew Tkachuk-ish kind of winger who can shake up stuff through their whole lineup. I don't know that that's going to happen. I do have a lot more confidence in DOC than what it sounds like you might. Take a couple more of these today. Doug says, as I was listening to the show, I thought left-handed defenseman, but then you blurted that out. So after that, I'd have to say goaltender. Chris says, DK, I have the second line center and left-handed defenseman. I do agree that the Penguins need to find a lefty defenseman who can complement Erik Karlsson. Both Marcus Pettersson and Ryan Graves played significant time with Karlsson, and neither is the answer. Looking at Cale Makar, who plays a similar game to Karlsson, he at least has Devin Taves, who's a quick puck-moving offensive defenseman. And Taves also really, really took a shot last night, not to change the subject here. Completing this entry, Makar and Taves are even playing on the first PK. I would sell high on Pettersson to find the complement for Karlsson. Oh, no. Now you're looking for two left-handed defenseman, my friend. No. Sorry, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm entitled to give you the no. I appreciate everybody who sent something this way. I appreciate everybody who listens to Daily Shot of Penguins, and I'd really appreciate if you go give Friday Insider a read. I think you'll find it'll open your eyes to some subjects, possibly. Let's meet up again here next Monday.